Ohio. I tell you what, we serve an extraordinary God, amen? And our God is good all the time. And the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in that day. Why? Because if the Lord has made the day, then he has prepared for everything you will see in that day, and he can help you from the beginning to the end of that day, amen? And so we're just going to rejoice this morning and be thankful of God's goodness. We're just going to rejoice this morning and let his presence come into this house, and we're going to begin by worshiping and just letting the Lord come in, because he says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So let's just rejoice this morning, and let's just get ready to worship God.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this music, this backbone. expect the unexpected, anticipate His move. Your miracle is waiting, watch Him move. Reach out your hand to touch Him as He passes by. The time is now for faith to come alive. Let's receive it now, moving upon this ground. All things are possible, only
gave me this word, and just these two songs already, He has confirmed it. I had to write it down because I wanted to give it to you like He gave it to me. The church doors are not just open for the body of Christ, but are open for everyone. The hurt, the lost, the dying, the backslider, the prodigal, the prostitute, the pimp, the drug addict, the abuser, and so on. Church, body of Christ, get ready. For you are going to see the world come through those doors. Jesus. And it's not always going to be pretty or look good. It may even be or even look a little weird. Love them. Love them as I have loved you. Give them room to grow. Be passionate. Pray for them. Spend time with them. You are going to see tattoos, piercings, bright color hair, and all sorts of walks of life. Again, I say, love them. Welcome them with open arms. I didn't turn you away, so don't you turn them away. My church was made especially for them, not just for you, my child. Let them hear my word. Let them see you worship me. Be real with them. That's what the world wants. Love and be real. They are searching and craving for my love and my acceptance. Don't turn your back on them. They need you just as much as you need me. Time is short for my coming. Bring them in so they won't leave here like they came, in Jesus' name. Your Heavenly Father.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Miracles to see, too good to not believe.
praying for them, because the freedom is in the prayers. The freedom is in our Jesus. Amen. You know somebody that's got a mental disorder? Lift your voice and shout for them. Maybe raise your hand if you've never, and you said, I've done all that. Then maybe you should be the one taking off running around this church for somebody's deliverance. Maybe it's you. And you know what? It's no shame if it's you. I need delivered. I'm a prodigal. I'm here. I'm one that has suffered from depression for years. But I'm here because he's so good that he has delivered me. Whatever it is, you got a family member that needs healing, he's here. Jesus is here. Let your petitions be known to me, he said, because I will do what my word says I will do. My promises are yes and amen.
This has been on my mind since Pastor Dosik has been here. He's talking about miracles. I was born without any hip bones. They said I would never, ever, ever walk. They said I would never dance or anything. I would be in a wheelchair my entire life. I was in a body brace for the first year and a half, from my neck down to my ankles. I was in a body brace. And they said, better get ready. But I had some spirit-filled mama and daddy in my life who said, I know what the doctor said, but I know what God says. They took x-rays, no hip bones. Went back after a year and a half, and they said, doctor, I can't explain it. I can't explain it, but there are hip bones there. There are hip bones there. He don't need the body brace. Don't tell me he can't do it. You have anxiety? It is crippling anxiety. Don't tell me that he can't do it. Satan will do anything to steal your praise. Don't tell me God can't do it, because he can. He can. That's why you see me jumping. That's why you see me shouting and praising the Lord, because Satan doesn't win. God does.
Hallelujah. You know, this is awesome. Because before we sang this song, God says, I'm going to bring people up to give all of you miracle stories that I've done for them or somebody in their life. He said, because I want them to know, and I want their faith extended beyond what it is right now. Because what some of them are believing for takes them to believe me totally and wholly and fully. And I want them to hear stories that I have done. Because if I've done it, I'll do it. So if you've got a testimony of a miracle that God has done for you, listen, no miracle is too small or too big. They're all important. Amen? I'm standing here when I should be dead. That's a miracle. Amen? So if you've got a miracle, we're going to sing through this. Start to line up, and we're going to get your miracles. Amen?
Yeah.
frequently talks about how you were special, that you were any combination of 7 million options, and you were here. Right. One of those. There are 10 years between me and my brother, for good reason. My dad did not like women. He did not like my mother. So me being here is a walking miracle because my mother prayed for me. The other thing, I had pastor pray this week because they tried to diagnose me with rheumatoid arthritis. And I am free and clear. Thank you, Jesus.
This miracle is not mine, but it's my son's. A few months ago, he went into the hospital and they was going to remove his leg from the hip because of sugar diabetes. And when they got in there, they noticed that his collar and his leg was different. So they ran a test before they did the operation, and he was completely healed, and they were astonished.
A lot of times I've heard people talk about the ways God provides financially. And over the past few years, I've had several situations come up where something unexpected came up where I needed extra money. I work in a salary position, so I know exactly what I'm getting for the entire year, exactly how much each paycheck is going to be. And yet each time an extra expense came up, money came from somewhere, including a couple of times coming through my job that was extra money that I shouldn't have been getting.
So, because I grew up with an orphan spirit, because I was abandoned when I was 5 by my parents and raised by my grandparents, never felt like I belonged anywhere. And long story short, a few really bad relationships that God didn't intend for me to be in, but, you know, God is our deliverer. So even though the times looked dark for me, he was pulling me out of situations that I wasn't meant to be in. And then I had decided I wasn't going to get married again, and then along came Jamie, who is really my gift from God and my knight in shining armor. And a few months later, we were married, and then I never thought I was going to have a family. I never thought I was going to have a baby, and I prayed so hard. And the day that my son, my baby, who's now 10, Kaysen, was born, I remember sitting in that hospital on the bed holding my newborn son, and with Jamie came my bonus son, which is Jace, who was 5, and he was also sitting on the bed, and Jamie was there. And God said to my spirit that day, you could have had that baby a long time ago, but you would not have had this. And so we waited for me to have this family. And now I have a family of my own. So I feel it in my heart to say, anybody who's dealt with infertility, or they think that their time of having children and having a family has passed you by, little Judah sits over there in his mama's arms, and he is living, breathing proof that miracles do exist and miracles do happen.
I thought she would have been the first one to come up, because it's not just hearing the story, it's seeing the results of what God has done. That baby is a living miracle. Listen, God's not just a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. He said, what I've done for one, I'll do for all. Amen. So what is it that you have need of today? What is it that maybe somebody that you know has need of? If you're good, if you're solid, you say, man, God, I'm good. You've got me in this place, and I'm just praising you, and I'm just thankful for everything you've done. Then reach out for somebody else. Who do you know that's struggling? Who do you know? And then praise him for their victory, but also go and hug on them. You know, God didn't just say to us, here, you're saved, you're healed, now leave. He gave us family.
Amen.
Amen. That we can hold and hug, and that can hug us and be with us and stand together. Amen? So whoever it is, whatever it is, go ahead and just praise him for your victory. Praise him for their victory. Praise him for the salvation of this world. Praise him. Amen?
Before we do this,
So first off, can I be raw? Is that okay? Are you good with that? Okay, I'll watch my P's and Q's because I know there's kids in here. Some of you have absolutely no idea who I used to be, period. And so when we, and I've mentioned it before, you know, we talk about this song, we sing this song. This has always been one that hit home for me because I've been in most of those situations. I know what it's like to hold somebody's life in my hand. And I know that there are military vets in here who know what that's like, and that's not an easy feeling to come back from. And so it blurs lines for you. And it blurs lines in relationships for you because you process things differently. And so what I wanted to share with you is I was thinking about that. God was just reminding me that, you know, I don't have to walk around. You know, part of the reason why God put me here in Kenton is because I can walk down the street and I don't have to worry about who's going to take a shot at me while I'm going down the street. You know, I don't have to worry about who's looking for me. I actually had a gentleman that's here in the church. I won't point him out, but he had a gentleman who come up to him in the prison and was asking about me by name. And I said, well, what'd you tell him? You know, but I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking about how God's redeemed that situation for me. But I was also thinking about a situation probably in 2015, and me and my wife ended up in a very bad spot. I won't give the details of that just for the sake of the kids in here. But needless to say, I ended up robbing a store, taking off cross country, you know, reverting back, as we like to call it. You know, we backslide. We pick up old habits. They're hard to die. And took off cross country and was hiding in a room in the middle of Kansas somewhere. And while I was there, I could have swore I heard my son talking to me. I woke up, because he used to come in and talk to me every morning. I woke up, could have swore I heard him talking to me. And God reminded me, and he said, hey, he's like, what are you doing? Why are you here? And that was about the extent of that conversation. It never went any further, and I turn around and I come back home. God restored that situation. Me and my wife now are, what, 6 years on the other side of that, at least? 6-7 years on the other side of that. Marriage was restored. God restored. Jobs restored. Actually, it was so much so that she went right back into the same place that all that stuff had happened in, and she took my job. She got 10 times the money, and blessing just poured out on her because of it. So when we talk about families being restored, you know, you're talking about dealing with mental health. You know what I'm saying? And that could be a variety of things. That's the reason why I shared with you. I know what it's like to hold somebody's life in my hand, because that's hard. You know what I mean? That's hard when you're trying to come out of a place like that and you're trying to adjust to how things are. You know, not everybody's out to get you. And that was a really hard concept for me because I couldn't get past that. Maybe my own wife, I was convinced my own wife was out to get me. You know, what do these people want from me? But I will never forget, and I'm about to put the pastor on the spot a little bit, but I will never forget the first time I walked into the building. And this song became even more real to me because, see, like I said, this entire bridge is my life. You know, that's why I feel like whenever we're doing this, you know, the anointing hits and you guys just, I mean, we just feel God move in this place because this is my life. And without all the gritty details to it. But the first time I walked in the church, I was higher than a kite. I mean, I was ripped. And I'd been up partying all night the night before. And I walked in, didn't even know who the pastor was. And I actually had spent the entire time coming up to this making fun of black preachers. I'm not kidding. I was. I was making fun of him. I thought it was hilarious. And the guy that was with me in the car is a guy I just threatened to kill a few months ago if he ever talked to me about Jesus. That's a story for another time. So I came in, and I had told plenty of Christians, you know, leave me alone or I'll hurt you. And most of them were pretty scared. But there was something different about him and his willingness because he was convicted by what it was he believed in. And I'll never forget, I walked through the doors. And he introduced himself to me. I won't say his name because it's just not in me. But he introduced himself to me by name. He didn't even tell me who he was. And then he walked up and preached the message. And then 3 days later, I had a mental breakdown and I ended up getting saved in Botkins. Much like what our friend over here said, don't tell me that he can't do it. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how far in that hole you've been. I don't care what, and I'm not saying it because I don't, you know, genuinely care. I'm just saying from a stand that it doesn't matter because God can pull you out of it. And there's not anything that's going to stop him from doing it. I'm aware of the lines that I've crossed in my life. And if he can pull me out, look, man, we could change some war stories, and I bet half of you ain't got the story I got. But if he can pull me out, he can pull you out.
Hallelujah. And I just want to add to that, that the congregation, they're righteous, lifted this boy up in prayer. And we never stopped till he came back. So you can run from situations and circumstances, but you can never run from God. Amen. 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 Okay, Philip's got some. Are you going to bring it back? Yeah, we can move on to the next song. Hallelujah. While we're moving on to the next song, I just want, this is so deep in my spirit. I don't know why. But you see Philip today, and he's here today because of a miracle. And the reason that I say that is because when he was 2 years old, we were at Phil's mom's house doing a revival up at the church he had grown up in. And we were all, after the service, went out to eat together, his family. And since we live so far away, they didn't get to see Philip as much because we were, I think, 4 hours away from them. And so when we got ready to leave, I thought, I'll just leave Philip, you know, with the family. They'll get to spend some extra time with him. But I had to check in my gut. So we walk out, we get in the car. We had another couple that was with us. And I still had that check in my gut. And I said something to her. And I said, oh no, something don't feel right. Something just does not feel right. She's like, what? And she said, with what? What are you talking? And I said, with my son. Something just does not feel right. She says, well, let's go back and get him if you got something in you. And I said, yeah, we need to go back. So we turned around, went back in there. And I go in there, and only your family will let you do this. He's running up and down the aisles in the restaurant. Mom and Dad don't let him do that, but they were letting him do that. And he was at a spot where they couldn't see him. So I went over and grabbed him and went and told the family, it's not you. I trust you with him, with my life, with his life. I said, but there's something I'll tell you when you get home. And so when we all got home, they got home. We told them this check that I had in my gut. And his sister said, I knew it. We're like, what? She said, I knew it. There's a couple that had been sitting in a booth watching him the whole time. Just watching him the whole time. And they only had coffee in front of them. Never had any food. Watching him the whole time. And as soon as we walked out, as soon as I walked out with Philip, that couple left. And then we praise God for it. And we knew that what God had done that night. But, you know, through the years, you kind of forget about it. When he was 10, he and I were at a revival in the city we lived in. And the preacher came up, the guy that was doing a revival, came up to him and said, there's a great call on your life. So much so that Satan tried to take you out when you were little. He saved you. And I said, you know, because you kind of just forget about things. And I said, well, God, what does he mean? And the word abduction came to me so fast. And I said, God, you are so good. You are so good. God will do everything to protect you and to protect your family. And never doubt that he will, because even when I didn't know what was going on, he did. And all I had to do was obey his voice. Amen? Amen.
Altars where you meet us. Take me there, take me there. If what you need is just an offering, it's right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be trapped by fire. You're if I, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. You're if I, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If the altar's where you meet us, take me there, take me there. If what you need is just an offering, it's right here, my life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed, I wanna be tried by fire. You're a fire, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. You're a fire, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
Tried by fire. Think of the process of what it takes to make a diamond. Fire can be all-consuming, but it can also be something that makes beautiful things. Are you sure you're ready to be tried by fire? Because if your heart isn't in the right place, if your mind isn't focused on me, if your spirit is chasing things that are not of me, this fire will consume you. You'll end up lost for a time, for a season. You get right with me,
You focus on me. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody's asking for perfection. That's what the refining fire is for. It's for the growth. It's for the chastising and the times where correction has to come. But your heart has to fully trust everything that I'm doing with you. You're going to get burned at times. It's going to hurt. It's a potential and the devil's attempt to bring offense, distraction, distrust, dishonor, any kind of sin that could come up in your life. But you have to remember that some of those burns are a necessity to learn.
Be tried by fire, pure. take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my love.
more than the air I breathe, more than the songs I sing, more than anything, I need you
the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
You should have picked up your little feet and walked yourself up there.
But you know the... But the thing of it is, if I was to tell you all the miracles that I've had within my life, and I've had close to 74 of them.
So God didn't just do one and not give you no more. God just didn't do two and say, you're full.
When I'm standing in a pulpit right now.
That's a miracle?
He was dead in the womb at 6 months.
Ooh, you are.
And the Lord brought him back. My oldest son, they said that he would be blind. He now sees. But you know, before I was ever married, I don't know if anybody ever heard about it, but I had what they called the bird flu. And they said when I was done with that bird flu, my lungs would be bad. I would never be able to sing again. Well, guess what? I can sing and I can talk. And there's nothing wrong with my lungs. And you know, I thank God for everything that he's done for me. He brought me from a wheelchair to the walker. And he's working with me to bring me from the walker to Cain.
No, he's done it. You're working out your miracle, but it's done in Jesus.
But you know, I thank God. Because if it was not for him, I would not be here. Because just a few months ago, there's no doubt in my mind that I sat here in this very chair and I died right here in this church. Yeah. And the Lord raised me. And I'm not here to just be here. I'm here for a reason.
Yes.
So I thank God for everything that he's done for me. I can't praise him enough. I may not
Amen.
Raise my hands like you do, but I got it in my heart.
Amen.
That's all that counts.
Amen. Amen. You're happy with what I did for you.
Amen.
Amen. I remember that day. And I was going to tell the story about how a lady in the Bodkins church passed away.
Yeah.
And was brought back and still alive today. Literally, they declared her dead.
Yeah.
But I forgot we have our own story. Now, they didn't declare her dead. But if you would have seen her.
Yeah.
If you would have seen her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we believe that God rose her back up because she's not finished.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is so good.
Yes, he is.
All the time. And all the time,
God
is good.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm stuck there because he just.
Amen.
He just. Listen, I love the word that Laura brought forth. Because it's been in my heart and it's stuff I've been praying and it's stuff that I've been looking at the Lord and saying, let us have your heart. Let us have your eyes. Let us see through your eyes, not our own. Let us hear through your ears so that when somebody's talking to us and they're venting and they're getting mad or they act like, you know, we understand that we're not listening to that, but we're listening to the reason behind that. God, let us hear how you hear. Some people go off and scream and throw fits because there's something wrong. There's a hurt place or something, offense is trying to come in or something like that. And God, let us hear behind this voice. Let us hear their heart, Lord God. Amen. If I would have done that a long time ago with Phil, whew, we wouldn't have gotten so many knockdown, drag out. No, we didn't. He's still alive, so we haven't gotten to any knockdown, drag out fights.
Amen.
Because I would have won.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no doubt.
Woo.
But I'm saying he helps us.
Amen.
And that's something I'm getting more and more as I get older. So you young ones, get it early. I don't know why it took me so long, but you get it early. Amen. When people go off on you, our first response is to want to defend ourselves or go back and scream back. Well, if you're going to treat me that way, I'm going to treat you that way. That's not what Christ did. That is not what Christ did on that cross. Remember, they were scorning him. And what did he say? Forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they do. And he went and he died and he rose again for that person that was treating him that way. Allowed Judah to stay with him all of that time, knowing he was the one that was going to betray him.
Amen.
Let him stay with him, fed him, washed his feet, right along with the rest of them. Why? Because he's a God of love.
Amen.
Amen. He loves no matter what. His love isn't dependent on you. His love is dependent on him.
Amen.
Because he is love. He can't help himself.
Yep.
Now, one thing I want to make very clear, that he is a righteous God.
Amen.
And he is a God of love.
Yes.
But the Bible says he's also a just God.
Yep.
Amen. And sin can't sit before him.
Amen.
And we need to check our lives, measure it up to the word. That's all that is. And if we're doing something that doesn't measure up to the word, Lord God, forgive me. I repent. I won't do that no more. Turn around and don't do it again.
Amen.
Don't let the devil keep you in that space. Amen?
Yep.
Because sometimes when we find out we're doing something that's not pleasing, or that, when he tells you that you have a certain characteristic that you don't like, and he tells you about it, don't allow that to put, or he has somebody else tell you about it. That's even worse. Because that means he done told you how many times and you won't listen to him.
Amen.
So now he's going to send somebody else to you to tell you about yourself.
Amen.
And that stings. I don't care. Like the refiner, I don't care. I have been in this world for 20 some years of my life.
Yeah.
And for those times, I went through some of the worst things I've ever gone through. Right? And I wasn't giving up on my life in the world. Right?
Amen.
And so now that I am a child of the living God who has delivered me, saved me, set me free, broken the chains off of me, why am I going to give up on him if something gets a little rough?
Amen. Amen.
You know, I want, as bad as I don't want to be hurt and broken, and I'm not, he's going to heal. And he's fixing and he's peeling the layers of the onion off for our good. But each layer hurts. And that's what Philip was talking about. But listen, it's for our good.
Amen.
It's for our good. I can't tell you how many layers I've had and how many layers I've got left to go. But I'm going to go through them.
Amen.
Because the end is worth it all.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
I want to shout. I'm just telling you, my spirit is full.
Amen.
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 He is good.
Yes, he is.
He is good.
Amen. All
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is good. Lord, we
praise
give you
God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise. Lord, there's nobody like you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for everything you've done.
Hallelujah.
For every person sitting here.
Yes,
for
Lord.
For everything that you've even done yet in this service for people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There are some things that you have moved on behalf of these people for, and they don't know it yet.
Amen.
But they're going to find out soon.
Hallelujah.
And Lord,
Amen.
They're going to be praising your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I believe the Lord's already done things for people, even in the worship service, that is going to be a lifting for them and a help to them.
I've felt anxiety lift.
Yeah.
I have felt that, I'm not good enough. Spirit lift.
Yeah,
I've seen that lift off of it. It's It's that I want you more. I need you more. Yes, Lord, I need you more, but I don't think I'm good enough to have more.
Yes.
That thing is lifted.
I felt that.
Amen.
I felt someone was close to giving up, and I felt that lift off of them.
Amen.
That they're no longer thinking they're going to give up, but they're going to press in. And as you press in, you will see an outcome from the Lord.
Amen. Even Amen. On live stream today.
Hallelujah. And
yes. You don't have to be in this building. You've been worshiping with us.
Yes.
God has no boundaries.
Amen.
Even there, I believe God has moved. And we got a couple people that we absolutely, I don't want to wait till the end of service. I want to pray for them now.
Okay.
We have Carrie Steinbeck is one of our congregation members. Her boyfriend passed away this morning. So we want to lift her up in prayer because we know this is just a horrible time for her.
Hallelujah.
And then we want to pray for Jamie. So we're going to have Marie come up and stand in his stead. She's going to give us an update on him. But we're going to, he's standing here because of prayer. His wife's prayers and his family's prayers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm standing here because of prayers. I think probably every single one of us are standing here because of somebody's prayers.
Amen.
And I believe when we pray, there's going to be a break in what's going
Amen.
On with Jamie.
Amen.
And it's just going to turn around in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Carrie before you. And we put their families before you, God. Father, that during this time of grieving, God, that somehow you would strengthen them and give them grace, Father. And you'd bring Carrie through and this family, Father. You would just touch each and every one of them and give them the strength during this time, Father. And Lord, that somehow in the midst of this, you'd be revealed to them, God. You would be shown to them, Father, and they would lean into you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for Jamie right now, God. And Father, we just pray, God, that every aspect of what he's going through will be revealed, Father, so that you would show what's at the root of these issues, God, and that healing would come upon him, Father. Lord, we just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into him, Father. And Lord, let this family be at peace while they're on this journey, Father, and just strengthen them in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you want to give an update on? Okay.
I had to take my husband to the emergency room this week. This is the second time that he's been in the emergency room in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. He has been dealing with a lot of sinus infections and stuff like that. So he's been under a doctor's care for that, and he's been seeing a specialist for that, which we're not all the way through that yet, but we're in mid-process of that. He's had some CAT scans on his head and stuff here recently. That's why you haven't seen him a lot in here, because he hasn't been feeling really well. He gets dizzy and lightheaded and just feels like he's either going to faint, pass out, whatever. So know that he is at home watching. He's, hi, honey. he is still with us. He just, he can't really, the lights and stuff really bother him with that. But a few weeks ago, and then I think Thursday night, I had to take him to the emergency room. He was having some pains in his upper abdominal and then in through his chest, like pressure. And because he has high blood pressure and things like that, they automatically assume that it's his heart. Now, my husband's had 3 EKGs in the last 6 weeks or so, and they all come back good.
Amen.
And he's had chest x-rays and blood work, and other than a little high cholesterol and some high blood pressure, they're all good. Now, the ER doctor wanted to have him admitted, was going to send him to Marion to be admitted because he was adamant that he needed to have the stress test, and he did not want to have him schedule it through a cardiologist and wait. He wanted to have him admitted so he could have the test in the morning. And in order to do that, he had to go to Marion Hospital. And Marion's hospital decided that he was not admittable because of his EKG and his blood work and his chest x-ray all came back good. So they decided he still has to have that outpatient. So we are still going to do the stress test. His doctor is very adamant that she wants him to do that, to check that box off. But every time the ER doctor came in and said, I'm really concerned that it's your heart. I'm really concerned it's your heart. I thought to myself, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
My husband does not have heart disease.
Amen.
My husband is 42 years young, and he is very strong. He's always been a very strong man.
Amen.
And a little too proud to go to the doctor at times and take care of himself. So we've had conversations here lately about treating his body a little bit better. But I believe that he's already healed. I just want to thank you two who are always there. Every time I have texted them and said, hey, we're going through this again, they're always there with an immediate response and prayers. And I want to thank all of you, because so many of you have reached out to us in the past week and just expressed your concern and your prayers. And I just appreciate all of you.
Amen. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The importance of the body.
Amen.
We're here. Amen. We lift each other up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So what do we got going on? So we've got
Today after
service is the 22nd. Today's 22nd? Really? There is a VBS meeting for all of those that would like to help with VBS. And what's the name of that room?
District 12.
District 12 room.
All right.
So just right after service, just go in there. Pastor Jared is ready. He is excited to get all of the help he can get. So if you'd like to help in any way. Yes. Listen, his VBSs are amazing.
Yes.
I have one favorite, but I love them all, but I have one favorite. And the sheriff's coming back to town. I'm so excited. Okay, so then what else do we have going on? Women's breakfast. Remember, first Saturday of every month at 9 o'clock, and it's a / Bible study. And one person from the congregation is going to be doing the, one of the ladies from the congregation is going to be doing the Bible study, and we're going to rotate that in, for all of those who want to do it. If you don't want to do it, we're not going to force you to do it, but we'd love for you to come and be part. Amen. We had a great one. Marie brought a great word at our first one, so we're looking forward to the second one. If you would like to do the June 25th painting with the ladies, there's a sign up out there, but there's also a sign up on Facebook on the women's group for the church. And so if you signed up there, you don't have to sign up here. But if you can't sign up there, then please sign up here. And the pictures are out there of what you can paint and all that good stuff. June 5th is Move Up Sunday for our kids. Amen. Y'all love it. Me, I'm like, it just makes me feel older and older because all these babies are growing up.
And they are.
They're like, just one and that doesn't go here anymore, but was here when they were very little, just graduated high school. Like, I'm just ready to cry. Like, I'm excited for them because they got the whole their whole life ahead of them. But do they got to grow up? I mean, really. I see this picture of Philip when he was like a baby. I'm like, that little brat, why'd he have to grow up? Because he won't even let me hold him no more. You saw what I had to do on Thursday night. I have to do stuff like that just to get a hug. Or not even a hug, because he didn't hug me, but just so I could love on him.
Amen, amen, amen.
Exactly. You hear that? No. Okay, so what else
do we got? He does hug you sometimes.
What, he just took food out of my refrigerator. He hugs me. Yes, you do hug me sometimes, babe.
All right.
I'm just messing with him. Cool. He does. Okay, so what else we got? That it?
I think that's it for right now. Pump.
July 21st is Pump. And the all this stuff is out there on the sign. If you have questions, please see Philip. And then we have VBS starting here July 24th. And Linda's due July 26th. 5th. Almost, I was right
25th.
There. 25th. So, yeah. So we got lots going on this summer.
Amen. Amen.
And do we have another date for you, Jason?
Not
okay.
Yet.
Just want to make sure.
All right.
Yeah, that's 11:18.
Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, well, I guess what we better do is let these children get off and run in the children's church with Pastor Jared. Amen. Hallelujah. And then what we're going to do is take just a few minutes to do the offering. And I want to put a young man on the spot if I can. Are you okay with that? All right, come up here. Honey? Yep. I was going to tell the story, but I think it'd be better if I just let him tell a little bit of the story. You know, I always express to you guys that in the Bible, the Lord says that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. I also have been telling you that I've been praying for you guys, and you guys can pray this way too, that the Lord would bring you finances from places that you didn't even know. You know, I feel like refunds are coming to people, money from old jobs. You know, I've had people say, hey, I had a job send me a check and say that I haven't worked there for years, but they sent me a check and said that these were funds that was supposed to come to me from way back when. And so Kyle has a very unique testimony, they do. And so I'm just going to let him tell a little bit of it and tell what happened.
So about 2012, I graduated from ITT Tech. And as it was very, it was in the news a lot that they had defrauded a lot of people, especially with their advertising. And about 2015, 16, somewhere in there, my mom and I started the process for their borrower's defense for forgiveness through ITT Tech. And about 3 weeks ago, we received an $11,000 check from a refund that I had paid. From money that I had paid, you know, almost 10 years ago now. And then last week, on Friday, we were driving down to Mammoth Cave to go camping with some friends. And I'm like, hey, we hadn't tithed on that money yet. So I tithed that Friday on my way down. Saturday, my mom called, and we got another $14,000 check.
Praise the name of the Lord. So what I want to just remind you is that the Lord is always looking to be working with you on your behalf. So if you are a person here today and you're not sure about tithing or giving, I want to just challenge you to trust God. Because the Bible says this, the Lord says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that you don't have room enough to contain. So I just want to keep challenging you in this area because it's for your benefit. God wants to rebuke the devourer. He wants to minimize what Satan can do against you, and he wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing so that there's not room enough to contain. So I'm just going to pray, and we're going to take up the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for what you do on our behalf, God. Father, I thank you that you're just pouring out upon your people, God. And Father, during this time, Father, there's just refunds and finances, God, that they don't even know how or where or when they're going to come, but they're just going to come, Father. And Lord, it's going to be money beyond their everyday normal, Father. They're going to get bonuses. They're going to get raises, Father. Lord, their job is just going to give them money that they don't even know is coming. And God, I just declare that your goodness is being poured out upon your people, Father, for your glory. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I'm going to preach to you on being led of the Spirit and hearing God. So we're going to be preaching on this for the next couple weeks here. And I'm just going to start in the book of John. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want you to know that the Lord says that my sheep know his voice. And so what I want you to understand is that you right now are able to be led of the Lord. Each and every one of you are able to hear his voice, and each and every one of you have it in you to hear what God has to say to you. I want you to know that it's a part of your makeup. You were born with part of you being able to hear what God has to say to you. Amen? And so we want to make sure that as we are pressing into life, that we are pressing into what God has to say about us and what God has to say to us, and we want to be led of his Spirit. And I want you to know something, that one of the big things to do to be led of God's Spirit is to know the Word of God. Amen? We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But I want you to know that one of the biggest ways to know God is speaking to you is to know his Word. And to know what he says about how we ought to live and how we ought not to live, because this is the guidance that God uses to help us hear him throughout the day and throughout our life. Amen? And there are things that God wants you to hear on a supernatural basis with him. Now, there are things that you can do on a day-to-day basis, like pick out your own socks and get your shirt out, and I'm sure that you don't have to stop and say, oh, God, what pair of socks do you want me to wear today? You don't have to do that, but you do need to be aware of how much you want God to be helping your life. You do need to ask him to give you guidance for the day, amen? And you do need to ask him to help you throughout your day, amen? You can ask him for safety. You can ask him for direction. You can ask him for clarity. And these are things that you want to be doing in your life on a day-to-day basis, because the Bible says that just like the Lord said here, my sheep know my voice. I also want you to know what it says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when we study that out, it says they're the children of God. So this means both men and women and children, when they are led of God, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to know that this scripture right here is letting you know that the same life Jesus had is the life that you should have. Amen? The same life Jesus had is the life that you should have. The life where he could hear God. A life where he was led and directed by the Lord and was able to do different things and many things supernaturally because of his relationship with God. I want you to know that you have that same relationship with the Lord where you should see supernatural things happening in your life with the Lord. Amen? I want you to know that it says right here in the book of John. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus makes a very interesting comment. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing? He says, I can of my own self do nothing. So here is why the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Because we are not supposed to be trying to live this life on our own power. We're supposed to be living this life on Jesus' strength for us, amen? And Jesus wants to work with you on a day-to-day basis. He wants you to read his word. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants life to be flowing in you. And the way that's going to happen for us is we're going to read the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And we're going to just walk through this thing called life because Jesus helps us. But if Jesus walked on the earth and on his own could do nothing, then why would you try to take burdens onto your own? There's so many times where instead of asking the Lord for help, we will try to institute our own ability and we'll just try to push through things under our own power. But Jesus said that he on this earth could do nothing by himself, and he did everything with the Father's help. So why would we not look to the Father also to help us? Amen? That is something that we definitely have to make sure that we are doing, is that we are making sure that we are working with the Lord to get everything done in this life, because Jesus tells us the same thing that he said. He tells us about ourselves. And in John chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Listen to this. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Say this with me. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. Now, I want you to know something. That we see a lot of people living this life on their own strength. And we see people trying to run families and households on their own strength. But I want you to know something, that all of those things do not have the stability of if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. See, if you're Jesus' Lord and Savior and he's helping you with his family, it's a whole different aspect than having no help to help with your family. If Jesus is helping you in every area of life, then you can do those things with Christ helping you, but you can do nothing without Christ helping you. In other words, everything about your life can be a tumbling block and a stumbling block and could fall apart if you don't have the Lord helping you. If you have the Lord helping you, then your family's going to be safe. If you have the Lord helping you, you can look and your relationship with your spouse is going to be a safe place. If you have the Lord helping you, you can go to work and you can be safe, because it's not your job that you're depending on, but it's the Lord that you're depending on. You know, I remember one time I had a job and there's people that was working there. And they said, hey, we're hearing all this negative stuff and you just come in here smiling every day like nothing's wrong. And I said, nothing is wrong. And they said, hey, our bosses are saying that we could close down and you're just thinking nothing's wrong. I said, there isn't nothing wrong. I said, because I've been diligent. And they said, well, yeah, you do come to work all the time. You're here early and you work hard. And I said, so based upon that, I have nothing to worry about. And they said, why? I said, because the Bible says the diligent shall prosper. Doesn't say I'll prosper because I work at certain jobs. It says that the diligent shall prosper. So that means that because of my faithfulness to the Lord and my work, working as unto the Lord and not just unto my boss, but working with an understanding that I'm working directly for the Lord, it doesn't really matter what my job does. Now, I know that we like our jobs, and I want your job to last as long as you want to work there. But I'm just also telling you that if something were to happen to your job today, even in this world environment, I believe God has provision for you tomorrow already set aside. I believe that the provision of the Lord is already set aside for you. And I believe that God is with you and that he will help you no matter what's going on in life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to know that our God is a God that wants you to hear what he has to say to you. And I'll just put this out here because we're going to build on it over the next several weeks. But you might say, Pastor, how can I hear God? Well, God is in you and in your conscience sake, and he will help you. You know, it's kind of funny because when I first got saved, the minute I woke up the next day, there's about 100 things that I knew I couldn't do anymore. And I tell you what, I hadn't read the Bible. I hadn't been in prayer. It's just convictions came upon me. And I just realized that I cannot be cussing and railing on people and yelling and just throwing my own temper tantrums and fits. that I could not be selfish and self-oriented anymore. It was just like a revelation hit me that these are things that God would not stand for. Amen. And so we can be led of the Lord on things like that, but we can also be led of the Lord on other things, like we want to make decisions in our life. How are we going to be led of the Lord? Well, what is it that you need to make a decision about? Because we should study that word and study what the Bible has to say about our situations and let the Lord lead us and help us and guide us. And I want to look here because we're going to look and see how Jesus was operating on the earth, because he always was led of God. Amen? Yes. And so we're going to look here in the book of Luke chapter 4. And this is an interesting scripture because this is where it was just said that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Father said from heaven that this is whom my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then it says that he was led away by the Spirit. And let's go through this and look here, and I want you to see several different things that will help you in how you're going to pursue God. But it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, remember, the devil is always going to try to come against your identity. He's always going to try to make you feel less than. He's always going to try to make you feel unimportant. He's going to try to make you feel unloved. He's going to try to make you feel like a failure. He's going to try to make you feel worthless. He's going to try to make you feel like you shouldn't give an effort. All these things are what the devil tries to do, because this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. And he said to him, If thou be the Son of God, when he knew he was the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I also want you to know something here. Did you see how Jesus didn't quote scripture and verse? But he knew in his spirit what the word of God said. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think that just because we can't quote a scripture and a verse that we can't hear God. No, that's not true. There's that still, small, quiet voice that comes up in us, and we know what the Lord says. And the Lord also says that when you're brought into certain situations, don't be in fear of what you will say, because the Lord says he will give us the words to speak. And so the Lord Jesus was receiving words from the Holy Ghost on what to speak when he was dealing with the devil. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be mine, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen? One way that we're going to be able to hear the Lord's voice clearly is to make sure that he's number one in our life. If we reverence the Lord and we make him first, then let me tell you something, we'll be able to hear him clearly. Amen? And we won't go through times where we can't hear the Lord's voice and not know him, because if we put him first, he'll be there to speak clearly to us, okay? And then it says, And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, and again, questioning his identity, If thou be the Son of God. I think that's the number one way the devil comes against us, is he questions our identity and he questions what we're believing for. If we've put something out there that we're believing for and it doesn't happen right away, the first thing that happens is we'll start to question why, or if it's possible, or if it's not going to happen, or if God, or if this or that. And the devil's number one way is to try to steal our identity and try to make us think that we are not deserving, we're not worthy, or that God is not with us. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down upon that from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Well, I got two things to say to you. Don't ever let faith outrun common sense as well. Because the devil said, hey, if the Lord's really with you, throw yourself off of this building. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. Amen. So I believe that the Lord could help us be safe from things, but that doesn't mean I'm going to put my hand on a stove and say, Lord, if you love me, I'm going to touch this stove and I won't get burnt. No, I'm not going to do something like that. I'm going to make sure that I don't let just common wisdom and understanding outride my spiritualness. Amen? The other thing I want to say here is that the devil said that he left Jesus for a season. It didn't say that he left him and that was it. He said he left him for a season. You've got to understand that throughout your lifetime, there's going to be times when the enemy's going to come at you and try to put you through a season of where he's coming against you and trying to stop the will of God in your life. And you're going to have to be strong enough to recognize that, and you're going to have to be strong enough to just work with the Lord until you get through that. Amen? Because there are going to be times where the Lord's going to give you rest, and you're going to have peace, and you're going to know the goodness of God. Amen? He's going to be with you, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to keep you, and it's going to be a good thing that the Lord is with you. But I really wanted you to see that the devil left Jesus for a season. He didn't leave him permanently. He left him for a season because the enemy is going to try to come back and is going to always try to be defeating towards you. But God is always going to be one that helps you and keeps you and brings you through certain things and will establish you with the Lord's help. Now we're going to go here and I'm going to read out of the book of Galatians. And it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay? So one of the ways that we are going to know that God is speaking to us is that oftentimes what he tells us to do is not going to agree with our flesh. For example, you have someone that you're mad at, and what you want to do is call and tell them off, and the Lord's going to say, nope, you're going to pray for them. Amen. Now, the one that's uncomfortable for you is to pray for them. The one that's uncomfortable for you is to take that person that you're mad at and wrap them in kindness and prayer and faith, and that's going to be very difficult for your flesh. Therefore, you know you're hearing God. Amen? And you're hearing what the Lord wants you to do. It says, But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike. Of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want you to know something, that the Bible says that if you're led of the Spirit, you won't be under the law. And the reason that is because if you're led under the Spirit, guess what? You won't break the law. If you are led of the Spirit, you'll live above the law. There's an old movie called that, Above the Law. But no, seriously, in the spiritual realm, living above the law means that you live in such a way with your brother that you never approach the law. Therefore, you live in the Spirit, and therefore you have life, and life more abundantly. Amen? And that God can just walk right through you with things, and that you can just live in the Spirit and make sure that you don't touch carnal things. And here it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, well, I should go back up and touch something here. We just said here that those that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus cleansed you, amen? And you are free. And it's the free grace and the gift of God and the love of God, amen? And we know that. But once you have received the Spirit of grace, guess what? Requirements come. Amen? And just because we have grace does not mean we get to live any old way we want to. That's how we're led of the Spirit. We read these things, and when we read these things, we understand that, okay, if I am going to be a part of the kingdom of God, then these other things I can't be involved in. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, or fighting and bitterness and hatefulness, envying, murders, drunkenness. These are things that are not ever going to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen? So we can never make a justification of having those behaviors in our life. And in fact, there should be things that come upon us that even if you've never walked in these before, they should be your nature now. Amen? So we're just going to read them. And it says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control, being at peace. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So what we need to understand is that a part of the salvation experience in hearing God is that he's going to change our nature. You know, 1 Peter says that the Lord has given us a divine nature. And a part of that divine nature is that when we came into the Lord, there were things that we had that were carnal. You know, many of us came in with anger, bitterness. These are just ways that we lived and things that we let go by and things that happened to us on a day-to-day basis that we thought were okay, but they were not okay. But these things need to change, you know. People say, well, I've always been this way. Well, until the blood came. Well, this is how my family's always been. Well, until the blood came. No, you don't know, I've always been angry. Well, until the blood came. Well, I've always had a problem with drinking. Until the blood came. You know, I lived in an abusive home. Well, I appreciate that and I love you. And I thank God you survived the abusive home. But now the blood has come. And so now you don't get to be abusive, amen? And you don't get to pass that on because we're going to be people that are led of the Spirit of God, amen? And that leading is going to be filled with love, amen? Faith which works by love, amen? Grace and mercy that's filled with love. And the Spirit that is going to bring life to us, amen? Hallelujah, praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift you up and we exalt you today, God. God, we just declare your goodness, Father, and we just thank you, God, for your leading of the Spirit, Father. We thank you that as children of God, we can be led of your Spirit, God. And that, Father, there is, as Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Father, there's something that you put in us from the beginning, that we would be able to hear you, Father. Lord, that we'd be able to know you, God. Father, you made it so that we could be able to hear your voice above every other voice that speaks in life. And your voice brings peace to us. Your voice brings strength to us. Your voice brings relief to us. Your voice brings faith to us, God. Father, it'll cause us to step forward and to step out of our comfort zone, God. Your voice will cause us to stand up in the middle of difficult situations and have the peace and the strength to walk through darkness, Father. Your voice will cause us, God, to be able to live right and keep our commitments of faith even when everything else around us is looking dark and falling apart, God. You will do that for us, Father, because we hear your voice and we'll continue to search for you and continue to look for you to hear your voice. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. We have a couple prayer requests. Oh, my. Praise God. Father, right now we pray for Amy and we pray over this spider bite and this poison ivy, Father. And Lord, we just speak healing, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak healing, God. We see in the Bible that there's a man that was bitten by a snake, Father. And that bite did not harm him and overtake him, even though it was a poisonous snake that could have killed him, Father, because of your healing power. And God, we just thank you for touching Amy and healing her. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, Tony, how are you doing today? Are you doing good? Brother, can I just come back there and pray for you? Amen. Amen. Yep, you were in the hospital, weren't you? But the doctors say that they're getting everything squared away. Yep. Hallelujah. But let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for Tony, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you've released healing into him, Father. Total restoration, God. Healing into every part of him, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that all these issues are resolved. And God, that he's quickly restored to full health, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I just got to ask one more question. And I'm not even going to make you close your eyes today. Is there anybody in here today that is not saved or walking with the Lord? Is there anybody here today that doesn't say Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life or has backslidden and have not been walking with him? Anybody this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, maybe someone that's on live stream today, if you're looking. Oh, if you're on live stream and you're watching us today and you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but the Lord is tugging on your heart today, I'm telling you, just say, Lord, I need you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I ask you to come into my life and to save me and forgive me of my sins. And then just tell him that you look to have his help from this day forward and the Lord will be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. And if you need prayer, just come up here. I'm going to be here, and we got people that can pray for you. And you just have a good, blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.